Hello again, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network, and this is the Green Lines Podcast. Every one of these podcasts is produced to help you live an abundant life. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." I want that, don't you? The Lord has led us to produce over 1,100 episodes of this show with interviews from authors, pastors, teachers, business owners, and even noted musicians and worship leaders. All of this is done with a prayer and belief that we're not to live a life of scarcity. Let me say that again. We are not to live a life of scarcity. We're to live a life of abundance every day of our life. Live in abundance. That's what this show's about. And today's episode features a guest who offers a new perspective on abundant living. Well, today I get to welcome back Dr. R.T. Kendall, who was once the pastor of Westminster Chapel in London, England. He did that for 25 years. He was educated in a Southern Baptist Theological Seminary with an MDiv and Oxford Universities, where he got his PhD. He's written so many books, we can't count them anymore. Total Forgiveness is one of the favorite books I've read from him, and maybe from anyone. It's a book I go to every time I'm struggling, and I recommend it to you always. Today, we're going to talk about a new book that he's got out. It comes out here in May. It's called Prophetic Integrity, and I'll let him fill you in on how he defines that. So rather than me talk about it, let's let RT do it, because I don't want to get in trouble. Dr. RT Kendall, here he is. So, RT, welcome back to the Green Lines Podcast.
Well, thank you, Dr. Steve. You honor me. You honor me, and I'm very pleased to talk to you.
Well, thank you, sir. I intend to honor you. You're worthy to be honored, that's for sure. So, you really took on a topic here. So, I've got to ask you right off the bat, what led you to write Prophetic Integrity?
Okay, well, it's a fair question. I'll be as candid and transparent as I know how to be.
Okay.
I voted for Donald Trump twice. And then after a day or two, when I began to hear reports of all these people, I mean, we're not talking about two or three, we're talking about hundreds and high profile, well-known people, people connected right to the top, I mean, in the White House, prophesying that the Holy Spirit told them that Donald Trump would have two consecutive terms. And I thought, well, why are they sticking to their guns? It looks like he's not going to make it. And I thought, there's something not right here. And after a week or two, it was more and more obvious. And they were sticking to their guns. God told us he will win. God told us he will win. And then I had a friend of mine in Britain who's sort of detached from all this. He said, "RT, why don't you write a book about this?" I said, "I can't write a book on that." He said, "If you don't, nobody will."
That's true.
And I said, "Well, let's wait and see. Somebody will write on it, because I admit somebody needs to talk about it." And finally, he said, "You going to write it?" I said, "Well, maybe I will." Then I put the idea to my publisher, who said he'd pray about it, and after 3 days said, "Don't think we'll do it." And in the meantime, a friend of mine wanted me to try a different publisher, and namely Thomas Nelson, which is Harper Christian, the largest publisher in the world, mm-hmm. and put the idea to them. And the bottom line is, it is out this week. It's out this week, and I wrote a book called Prophetic Integrity, and I'm calling on people to be honest, admit it. If you get it wrong, quit sticking to your guns when you get it wrong. And what alarms me is that these people said Donald Trump did win, the Democrats stole the election. I said, suppose the Democrats stole the election. Why didn't God tell you that would happen?
Yeah.
Does God know the future, mm-hmm. or not? St. Augustine said, a God who doesn't know the future is not God. And these people said, well, we believe that Donald Trump won. I said, the truth is, The Holy Spirit knew who would win, and he didn't tell you. You're not hearing from him. God is not talking to you, and you ought to have the integrity to admit it. And I've talked like this to my friends, and I said, the time has come. Admit it when you get it wrong. Well, anyway, that's the background, Steve.
So what do you want to get done with it? When all is said and done and the book is began to gather dust on a shelf, what do you hope to have achieved with the book?
Good question. My answer, that these people will humble themselves and repent and say, we got it wrong. We're sorry. And we want God to forgive us. Otherwise, they're going to miss it entirely and lose all credibility, and the anointing will just leave them. And I'm hoping that they will listen to me and that they won't be governed by their pride, but by integrity and honesty. That's my hope.
Dr. Kendall, what do you hope that they hear from you? If they're to listen to you, what's the takeaway? What do you want them to know that you're here to say?
All right. We're talking about two groups that I hope will read the book.
Okay.
You've got the charismatic movement, and you've got the evangelical non-charismatic movement. Now, here's the situation as I see it. Whereas in England, where I spent over 30 years, the charismatic movement is mainstream. But over here, the evangelical movement, non-charismatic, is mainstream, and the charismatics are the lunatic fringe. But what I'm hoping is that evangelicals will read this book and see that the charismatics have a point. We ought to listen to God. The prophetic is not over. Cessationism, the idea that the miraculous ceased 2,000 years ago, is not true. It's not based on the Bible at all. It's based upon a theory. People want to believe that it ended 2,000 years ago. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The Holy Spirit is the same yesterday and today and forever. And I'm hoping that this will reach evangelicals and make them come to see that there is merit to the charismatic, and that there's such a thing as the false and the true. And if charismatics that get it wrong would repent, it would show integrity and get the attention of the evangelicals and say, well, we're glad to see that you're honest. Maybe I will listen to you then. But as long as they should dig in their heels and won't admit to a mistake, it's just going to make them look more ridiculous and separate evangelicals from charismatics more than ever. But I'm hoping that this will cause evangelicals to appreciate the fact that God is at work today. The gifts of the Spirit have not ceased. And at the same time, I'm hoping charismatics will see that if they get it wrong, all they have to do is say, I made a mistake. But so far, so many of them won't admit that.
So you've loaded up a lot of theology in your book, Prophetic Integrity. Why don't you give us an insight into why you felt it was necessary to really bathe it in theology?
Okay. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus dealt with three of the Mosaic laws of the commands, Ten Commandments. The command, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, and remember not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, the first two are apparent. Jesus said, when you lust after a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart. When it comes to hate, when you hate, won't forgive, you've committed murder in your heart. He doesn't explicitly refer to the third command, but later on in Matthew chapter 5, he talks about swearing an oath. Now, what that has to do with was giving a prophetic statement, like the Lord told me this, oh, I swear by the name of God, this will happen. And Moses warned that you should, if you make any statement in the name of God, you better get it right, or you'd be stoned in a false prophecy. You'd be stoned if you got it wrong. And so people forget that third command. And it comes down to one thing, Steve, the way yes. you use the name of the Lord. Many have just thought it's been swearing, cursing, using the name of God in a hateful way or to swear. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about misusing his name so that when you mention his name, you better get it right. What Jesus does then is come along and say, don't swear at all by heaven or by earth. Just say yes, say no. And a word to prophetic people is to say, look, I believe you should do this. I believe that the Lord might be saying this to you, rather than saying, God told me to tell you this. You see, if God tells you something, it's got to be right. But these people are using his name and say, God told me this, and then they get it wrong. And it makes God look bad. It makes them look stupid. And that is what has happened. And it doesn't seem to bother them. You would think they'd be embarrassed. You think they'd climb down. But they're not doing it. Only one or two, actually, have done it. And the one that did it, got well known for it, got all kinds of criticism for it. It's a crazy world we're in. And all I'm doing is to call for simplicity and honesty. And the reason for the theology is to honor the law of God, one of which of the Ten Commandments is commandment number 3, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And I have a whole chapter in the book on swearing an oath, OATH, and the importance of the oath. And that's one of the most important chapters in the Bible. But then there's one other thing, and this is even bigger. Let me ask you, Steve, do
yes,
you
sir?
Know what open theism is?
No, I'm not going to try to answer. I've got an opinion, but I'm not sure I'm right. So
okay.
Tell me.
Well, I can tell you what it is. It's
That's good.
It's the idea that God is open to us to determine the future. The open theistic view is that God does not know the future, but looks to us for input to know what to do.
And well, I don't agree with that.
This is a perspective that was put through by a well-known charismatic about 40 years ago. He was teaching at Fuller Seminary in Pasadena. He started the view of open theism, although most people never heard the phrase, don't know what it is. But let me give you some examples. Have you ever heard the idea that we don't do anything without declaration? In other words, we declare something and then say, God, you will do it. And it's the idea that we can twist God's arm and make him do what we believe should be done. So these people want Donald Trump, and they agree. We agree together. Donald Trump will win. We proclaim it. We say it will happen. And they won't admit that it's their own idea, because according to open theism, God doesn't have a will of his own. He looks to us to know what he should do. And that teaching, I'm telling you now, is pervading the charismatic movement, and prophetic people, even if they've never heard the term, are adopting this theory. And it's deadly, and it's right against the Bible. And I've got a chapter in my book, it's chapter 9 in the book Open Theism, that shows 20 ideas that come from open theism. And it's enough to scare the life out of you. You don't want to believe that, but it's popular. It's popular among charismatics. And even one of the 20 theories is that we have to go apart from the Bible. We can't always listen to the Bible, and we have to get another roadmap to know what to do. I mean, it's anti-biblical. And if I told you, I'm not going to, I don't mention any names in the book, But believe me, if I told you who is propagating this, you would be shocked. These are household names among charismatics. And I don't say a word about who they are or where they are. Very few perhaps will even know who they are. I'm not wanting to expose people. I'm wanting to expose false teaching.
So do you think this will cause some offense and some riff in our walks and the people that we work with and we all talk to? Do you expect offense to come?
I don't even think about that. I'd like to think, you know what I'd like to think?
Yes.
I'll tell you what I'd like to think. I would like to think that they would read this and say, this is really true. And I've been wrong. I've messed up.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. That's what I hope. I don't know. My litmus test with those I've talked to, they're not backing down at all. They just say, if God tells you something, it's going to happen. Well, the truth is, God isn't telling them. Let me ask you this, Steve. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 17, during the time of Elisha, you actually have these words: God will send a lying spirit to the mouth of his prophets. God sending a lying spirit. It's right there in the Bible. That is what has happened in the last couple of years. And it swept over the prophetic movement. And I'll go further. It's my opinion. God's judgment is on them. They may not see it today. They may not see it tomorrow. It's only a matter of time that they will be exposed and they'll be sorry. And I'm urging them, the sooner they can repent and the sooner they can admit they've got it wrong, it may be God will restore the integrity to them and the Holy Spirit would come in power. But right now, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Repentance must precede revival.
Do you think this is one of the barriers to revival that we have today, is this prophetic movement?
If you call it revival. I think the prophetic movement. Now, let me tell you this. In the book, I mention names of those prophets who have gone on to heaven. I don't mention any prophet who's alive today. But I talk about these. Some of these were my close friends. John Paul Jackson. Yeah. I was on his board. I was probably his closest friend. One of them, anyway. I took him bone fishing in the Bahamas. We were very close. I know how his mind worked. He had integrity. I think if he were alive today, he would stand out against these. I'm sure he would. Other of those men, Paul Kane, I was close to him. He was like a member of the family. And then it's turned out that his life didn't end well. But I talk about him and how his mind worked, how his prophetic gift worked. The thing is, these people are human. They're good people. They love the Lord, but they make mistakes. Some will admit it and some won't. And that's why I've called the book Prophetic Integrity. The time has come just to tell the truth.
So, Dr. Kendall, what do you think the future holds? What's the short term? We're headed into another election period. We've got pretty tough economic times ahead. What are you hearing from the prophets these days?
Well, I don't know that I've heard any lately. I think they're going to be quiet for a while. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be very, very slow. First of all, I think they need to repent and say, we made a mistake. We're going to seek the face of God. And it may be that some of them will give the right word. It could be that some of them will show integrity. I don't know. I don't know. And by the way, I don't claim to have a prophetic gift. I'm a Bible teacher.
Yes.
That's my gift. And I try to explain the Bible. But I like to show what the Bible has to say about the prophetic. And I'll tell you another thing about so many of the prophets. I'm not talking about any living today because I don't refer to them. But I can tell you about those who've gone on. They didn't know their Bibles. They didn't know their Bibles. They didn't read their Bibles. They would just look to God, show me what to do today. And I could say a lot, but I don't want to. I'm just telling you, when it comes to theological teaching, most of them did not have a clue. And as knowing the Bible, one of them, the best known of them, told me he's never read the Bible through, and he was in his 80s. Listen, everybody should be reading their Bibles. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones introduced me to the Robert Murray McShane Bible Reading Plan. I can say to you, Steve, I read the Bible through 44 times, New Testament 88 times, Psalms 88 times, and I read the Bible every day, have done all my life, but consistently for the last 45 years to make sure I read it through it in a year. These people don't do that. They don't know their Bibles, and yet they're claiming to speak for God. And I'll tell you another thing. I know a well-known, when I mean well-known, I mean well-known, who does not read his Bible, but phones a man with a prophetic gift every day or so to say, what do you think the Lord wants me to do today? And he is in a strategic position. His name, household name with charismatics. That's the kind of leadership we're having. And there's something's gone wrong. Are you with me?
Yes, I'm listening. I don't want to interrupt you. But I want to ask you another question, that if our friend D. Martin Lloyd-Jones was on this call, what do you think he would have to say about what he just heard?
Well, Dr. Lloyd-Jones was not a cessationist.
No.
He was open to the prophetic, and he did believe in the immediate and direct witness of the Holy Spirit. But he would be very wary of what has gone on, and he would say the teaching of the sovereignty of God needs to be taught to charismatics. Most of them don't have a clue when it comes to the sovereignty of God. He can do whatever he wants to do. But you see, the open theistic idea, we tell God what to do, and he will do because he works with us. We're partners with him. You see, this is the popular idea. You name it and claim it. You name it and claim it. This is not the Bible. This is what people choose to believe. And Dr. Lloyd-Jones would be very, very upset with that kind of teaching.
I think so. I've read a lot of his work. Dr. Kendall, let's talk about something as we're wrapping up this podcast. We're getting close out of time. First of all, again, the name of the book is Prophetic Integrity. Well, let's talk about what you see in the church today. What's going on today? You visit a lot of churches. You preach all over the world. What are you seeing?
My view is the same as it's been for quite a number of years. It is that there is a silent divorce in the church today, speaking generally, between the Word and the Spirit. Now, when there's a divorce, sometimes the children stay with the father, sometimes the children stay with the mother. Well, in this divorce in the church, you've got Word side, evangelicals, and you've got the Spirit side, charismatics. What's the message? Well, listen to the Word people. Their message is, we must earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints, and until we get back to Scripture, sound doctrine, justification by faith alone, sovereignty of God, God's honor will not be restored to the church. That's the message. What's wrong with that message? Well, nothing. It's exactly right. And then you've got the Spirit people. What's their message? Well, it's very simple. We need to get back to the book of Acts. Signs, wonders, miracles, gifts of the Spirit. Get into Peter's shadow. You're healed. Light of the Holy Spirit, struck dead. And until we have power like that, the honor of God's name will not be restored. What's wrong with that emphasis? Nothing. It's exactly right. The problem is, Steve, where you go today, almost anywhere, it's one or the other. You go in a Word church, you can tell in 10 seconds it's a Word church. Go into a Spirit church, you know immediately where it is. And I long for the day when the Holy Spirit and the infallible Word of God will come together. It was in the days of the Apostle Paul. He could say to the Thessalonians, our word came to you not, our gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power. You see, that's what you had in the early church, the Word and the Spirit. But today it's one or the other. And my dream, my prayer is that these two will come together. And because my book, Prophetic Integrity, has been endorsed by one of the most prominent Southern Baptists in the whole convention, he's endorsed it. But it's also been endorsed by a leading theologian in the charismatic movement. Thank God for him. He's endorsed it. And so it's possible that they'll begin to listen to each other. I would like to think that everybody would look at this book and see the merit in it. And it could, I don't say it will, I pray that it will, lead to a genuine repentance of honesty and bring us back to integrity.
Well, Dr. Kendall, I've got an idea of how to bundle this book with something else that you wrote called The Word and the Spirit.
Yep.
And think that would be a pretty good companion reading device, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
You read these two together, you'd really get blessed.
Well, you've got a good idea, Steve. I won't argue with you.
Well, and it's not just because you wrote it. It's just because the content of that book is magnificent. I mean, you're seeing the marriage, not the divorce. You're writing about what could be, not necessarily what it is.
Well, you're absolutely right.
Brother, where do we go from here? Lead us forward. If you're pastoring a church, what do you have to say to them on the way out to the lobby?
The two things needed more than anything else. It's so simple. It's so simple, you might think, well, that is too simple. But I'm going to tell you, it's Bible and prayer. Prayer and Bible. You can't pray too much. You can't read your Bible too much. But you need to do both. And all prayer, and as one put it, you blow up. All Bible, you dry up. But the Bible and prayer, you grow up. And that's what I would think is the needed. People need to have a Bible reading plan. They need to spend time on their knees. Martin Luther prayed 2 hours a day. John Wesley prayed 2 hours a day. The average church leader in America, 4 minutes a day. And you wonder why the church is powerless. So this is what I would say.
Well, that's a great way to end the podcast, Dr. Kendall. It's great advice. It's a great way to live. It's a formula for life and happy life, a blessed life. And it will help us with everything that we've talked about in this meeting. It will inform us. It'll give us a way forward. And, you know, an informed Christian is a happy Christian, don't you think?
Exactly.
Do you have a last thought? How about sharing a scripture with us on the way out? What scripture comes to your mind to help us?
Okay, Jesus said to the Pharisees, who did not believe in him,
yeah,
how can you believe who receive honor one of another and make no attempt to seek the honor that comes from the only God? The reason that the Pharisees missed their Messiah is because they were more concerned about pleasing one another, and it was not even on their radar screen to seek the honor and glory of God. My word is John 5:44. Seek the honor and glory of God. Get his praise, not the praise of people, but from the praise of God. That will become our joy, our strength. And as long as we have our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, Son of God, we will not miss what God is in. Jonathan Amen. Edwards taught us that the task of every generation is to discover in which direction the sovereign Redeemer is moving, then move in that direction. That is our task.
Well, I would say, sir, that that's a great word, and may I walk in it, may you walk in it, and may every listener of this podcast walk what you just taught. That was worth waking up for this morning, just to hear you say that. Such a powerful word. Dr. Kendall, thanks for carving out some time from your nap to be with us today. I really appreciate you spending time on this podcast.
Thank you, Steve. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. The name of the book is Prophetic Integrity by R.T. Kendall. It's a book that's out this month. I hope you look for it. I hope you read it. I hope you challenge people with the words that Dr. Kendall wrote. We like to say around here at the end of every show, Jesus came that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. We pray that for you. We pray that you'd pick up a book, gain knowledge, read your Bible, and pray. All that from R.T. Kendall, my friend, and someone that I really, truly admire and respect, and pray God's blessing over. God bless you all.